Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Howie, please.
Well, good evening. It's probably a surprise to you as it was to me, so didn't know I'd be speaking tonight, but welcome to the faithful. You guys are the ones that show up, aren't you? So I feel like I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but great to see you here. This morning, our speaker talked about faith, and that's interesting because that's what I want to talk about tonight, too. And of course, faith is a huge theme throughout the Bible, isn't it? In the book of John, we read about the object of our faith, you know. Read about the fact that these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. In Romans, we read about the obedience of faith. And of course, when you talk about faith, you got to bring it around to which chapter, which book of the Bible? You have to bring it to Hebrews, don't you? It talks a lot about it, and these chapters 11 and 12 of Hebrews are powerful and give us deep insight into the whole topic of faith. So Charlie's already read it to us, but I would like to read it to you and put in a few of the meanings that underline the English translation that we have, because I think they sort of give new light and some additional thoughts to what it says. We'll talk about it fully, but I'd just like to read it in a way that maybe will give you some new ideas and some new words that we can handle. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we'll talk about the witnesses tonight, that word martyros, the same word as martyr. Remember, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses too. But these are people who are surrounding and looking at us, and we'll talk about who they are in just a minute. Who are these martyros? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Those words, run with endurance, very careful. The word run, in the Greek word, the Greek language is treko. So it's a trek. And you think of the military campaigns, and you think of these soldiers with backs on their packs, and they're, you know, jogging along, trekking. It's not a sprint, for sure. This is a trek. This is a race. It's a long-term race. So let's race. The race that is set before us, and that word is agonon, for which you get the word agony. So we're trekking with this big weight upon us, and we're running, but it's an agony, and it's heavy to run this heavy race that we're running. That before us, looking unto Jesus, that's looking away to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The word actually is the architect. He's the architect of our faith, and we'll talk about, and the perfecter, the one that makes our faith perfect, all right? Looking unto Jesus, the perfecter and author of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, who endured the cross. That word endure, very interesting, hupomeno. And what it really means is to stay under. Hupo, under, meno, to stay. Stay under. And so this is talking about the faith that stays under. Stays under. You know, there are several qualities of faith that we talk about. Faith should always lead us to obedience. In fact, my picture of faith is a picket fence. You know what a picket fence is? So on the bottom, you have the Word of God. On the top, you have obedience, and faith is what joins the two. Faith is the thing that joins the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, to obedience. And faith must result in obedience. If it doesn't result in obedience, it's not really faith. So there's this quality of obedience of faith, and then here we have this quality of the endurance of faith, the long trek bearing up under this heavy, heavy load. Despising the shame, seated at the right hand of God, consider him. The word is analizo. Analyze him. Analyze Jesus. Look at him on the cross. Study him. If you want faith, that's what you do. You analyze what happened to Jesus on the cross, who endured such hostility from sinners that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about it a little bit and meditate on these thoughts and words and see what the Spirit has to say to us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us in our thoughts tonight. Help me to be able to share well and give us ears to hear and cause us to think thoughts after your Spirit. Will you teach us tonight? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first question tonight is, who are the witnesses? And you've probably been at funerals or someplace like that, or you've heard people talk about this race, and you've had all the people of heaven looking over the banister and watching us run down here. Is that your idea? Well, it's probably one idea. I don't think that's in the text. I think what's in the text is Hebrews chapter 11. And I think the witnesses are all these people in Hebrews chapter 11 that it talks about. I think there's 16 of them. I could be wrong. There's some of them that are a little bit, you know, it's fuzzy who they're really talking about. But it goes all the way from Abel to David. And you have several of these people, the antediluvians, as we call them, Abel, Enoch, Noah. And then you have, from Noah, you go to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on. And then you get into that, and then it goes through a whole bunch of the judges, Jephthah, you know, all these people, Gideon, all these people, and ends up with David. And all these people, the thing about them is that they were all commended by God. And God saw their faith, and without faith, this is the key verse, of course, of chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to believe God, to please God, because he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those, that he is the creator, that he's also a rewarder of all those that diligently seek him. And at the end of life, and when we stand before Jesus, the thing that we're going to be judged by, and the thing, the measure that we'll be, you know, rewarded by, is by the measure of our faith. It's not by what we did. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary or housewife or a mother or a house cleaner. Everything we do in life can be done with faith, believing God. Everything. Whatever you do, whatever you've done. The measure of the whole thing is going to be, how did you apply faith to the job or the circumstances that God gave you in your life? And that has profound meaning. We'll try and get into that a little bit tonight, what that really means, is that faith is the measure by which we will be measured in heaven. So we want to see our faith there, but we also want to see it grow, right? We want to see it grow. And I think that this passage helps us to understand how our faith can grow and how it can get bigger. So after talking about all these martyrs, these 16 different witnesses, then we get to chapter 12, and if you just look at the text here, let us lay aside, let us run the race that is set before us. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So having talked about the heroes in chapter 11, now we're talking about us, you and me. So that's the focus now of these verses. We're talking about our faith and how it is, and it's the focus now is on and us and how, what happens to us in our faith. So we've talked about what is the great cloud of witnesses, those people around us. And again, I'd like to emphasize the words that I mentioned again just in the reading of it. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And again, these two words, and I've talked about it in just a minute, the word is that the trek, this long-term trek of this race, of this agony. But I'd like to concentrate your thoughts for just a moment on this idea that is set before us, that is set before us. There's a race set before us. And who set that race before us? Jesus. He's the author, he's the architect, and the perfecter of our faith. So in order to increase our faith, for our faith to grow, and for our faith to mature, the Lord Jesus himself set out a race course. Now, can you imagine somebody setting out a marathon race course, you know? You run to this point, you turn here, and then you go over here, and you turn there, and you go here, you go there, and you go there. So somebody went around before us and set out all the markers for the race that is set before us. Who did that? Jesus did that. He set out the markers of your life. Now, every race is different. Your race is different from your race. Very different. You've got different ways to go. She's got different ways to go. But it was set out, the race of your life was set out specifically to increase and grow your faith. God knew exactly what it would take for you to grow in faith. So that's why Jesus, he went before you and he set out the marker for your race. Now that's profound. That's profound. It tells us that everything that happens to us in life has already been planned by God. He did that for you. Somebody died. Yep, God put that marker there for you. You ran into this sorrow or this happiness or this joy or this experience. And every marker was put there by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the big point. I love it. He went there before you. He went there before you. I think I'm pretty safe to say this. I believe it's true. There is no experience in life that you will ever go through that Christ has not been there before you. Now, you know, maybe you said, well, I had to give up smoking. Well, okay, there's probably things like that. You want to talk sorrow? You want to talk about sorrow? Well, Jesus was obviously there when his dad died, right? He felt sorrow. He stood by the side of Lazarus' grave. He felt sorrow. You talk about rejection? He went that. Yeah, he's had rejection. You've had difficulty in your life? You've had pain? Yep, he had pain. Yeah. There's nothing that ever happened to you that Jesus hasn't already been there first. And whatever you come to, he's already been there. I had a cyst on my back, and a surgeon took it out. And after it was out, some of the stuff had to come out of it. And so he just put a half a stitch in, and there was a little opening there until it cleaned out. And then when I went to the doctor, doctor said, now, we got to stitch this up. I can do it two ways. I can shoot some deadener in there and sew it up, or I can just sew it up. But either way, there's going to be needles inside. What do you want? I said, oh, I'll just take it, you know? Oh, boy. Oh, yeah? When he began stitching that back, oh, it hurt. It hurt so bad. I mean, you know, the needle going in there and twisting and coming out there with a thread. I thought, Lord, this is just a little example of what you bore for me on the cross. He's been there at every single step, every part of the way. He knows every burden, every problem. He's not only borne your sin, but he's borne your griefs and your sorrows. Because he's been there. He set the course. He's the one that set the course before us. By the way, he had a course set for him too. Did you notice in the text? There's a course set for us, but what did he have set before him? He, looking unto Jesus, the founder of, the founder and finisher of the joy that has endured the cross, despising the shame, see the rank hand, consider him who destroyed. But he had the cross set before him. We have our race set before us, and God put the cross in front of Jesus. Amazing. That was set for him, and he endured that cross. Very, very interesting. Now, the implications are wonderful, as I've already said. Every course is different, but the desired result is always the same. God's trying to grow your faith. Don't stop growing. You know, this is a challenge that we as Christians who've been around for a while, you know, we grow and then we stop. No. Keep growing. Yeah. At the end of the day, we'll be evaluated not by how fast we ran or how far we went, but whether we applied faith to the course that was set before us. Jesus is the architect of the course. It means that he has experienced everything that we can possibly experience. So because of this, we're to run with endurance. And I mentioned earlier that that word means to be. Meno is to stay, and upo is to stay under. And my picture of this is what I grew up with in Africa. I used to watch them load the donkeys that went to market. They had these bags. 50 quintal, I don't know, that's about 75 pounds. And they put one bag on this side of the donkey, and then they put another bag on this side of the donkey. Now he's got about 150 pounds. And they take another one and put it on top. And that donkey is standing there, you know, like this, and walking to market like this, you know. Endurance. Staying under. Because what our tendency is when problems come and difficulties come, we want to get out of it. We want to get out. No, endurance, stay under. Because that's how your faith grows, is staying under the pressure, under the difficulty, the weight. And of course, a beautiful example of this is our Lord Jesus Christ. He endured. Jesus endured. He endured tremendous things. We'll talk about it in just a minute. He endured the hostility of sinners. Ever lose a close relative? Have you had siblings make fun of you? Have you been weary or tired? Have you been homeless? No place to call home? Have you been severely tempted to sin? Have you had people doubt you and your word? Been rejected by close friends? Ever tempted to go against God's will? Ever gone through depression or deep sorrow? Ever felt forsaken by God? Jesus has been there. He's been in all these places. You look to him, help from him who's gone through all these difficult and hard things. Now, how can we remain under the pressure? Well, I think there are four things given to us in the text here. And I'm not going to give a long sermon on these, but just outline them for you. First of all, it says, lay aside every weight. Okay? Second, the sin that so easily besets us, and looking unto Jesus and then considering him. Four things. Laying aside every weight, the sin which so easily besets us, looking unto Jesus and considering him. Each of these four things. So let me talk a little bit, first of all, about the weights of life. There is a burden that we're supposed to bear. Yeah. There are burdens that God puts upon us. But there are also burdens that we're not supposed to bear. And we should know the difference. Every man should bear his own burden. That's what it says in Galatians. But it also says, cast your burden upon the Lord. So there's two kinds of burdens. They're the burdens you're supposed to bear, and they're the burdens you're not supposed to bear. Now, the problem in Christian life is when you try and bear both of them. When you try and bear both the burdens that you're supposed to bear and the ones that you're not supposed to bear, you cannot make it because you weren't made for that. So that means you've got to get rid of some of those burdens. I find this is true in many circles of ministry. People have all these burdens of life, and then they take on the burden of the ministry, and they can't come under the weight, they can't bear it up, because that's not what you're supposed to do. There's some burdens you're supposed to get rid of so that you are free to bear the cross of Christ. Yeah. And so, you know, you have to discern between those two. There's certain burdens that you have to lay aside. These are burdens of your own making. These are burdens that you think about. And these burdens you're supposed to cast upon the Lord. Very interesting. You're not made to bear two burdens, but one, so that you can carry the cross. Now, I'd like you to think about this because this is a deep spiritual principle. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sin. But did you also know that he bore your cares, your sorrows? He has borne our griefs and our sorrows. He didn't bear just your sin. He bore your grief and your sorrow. So that means that by faith, when you came to Christ, you took your sin and you placed it upon Christ and you got his righteousness. Isn't that what you did? You did. You took your sin. Now, that's what you're supposed to do with your burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. So just like by faith, you cast the burden of sin upon him and got his righteousness, now you take these burdens that are heavy for you, your sorrows, your hurts, the things that happened to you in life, these things you take and you cast them on the Lord. You say, Lord, just like I gave my sin to you at salvation, now I'm giving you these sorrows, these things. And then you're free. You're free to carry his cross, to do what he wants you to do. That's a big principle of life. I can't communicate this well enough to you to get you to really understand it, but it's huge. You say, well, how can I do that? No, you can't do that as long as you're doing what you're doing. It's too heavy for you. So you give up one thing, but you get another, and that is his strength, because you can carry his cross. It's very interesting, this whole idea. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. So the principle is that we believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore our sins and gave us his righteousness. He not only bore our sins, but he carried our griefs and sorrows. And just as we asked him to take our sin and place it on Jesus, so now we take our burdens to the same thing. We cast our burden upon the Lord. That's an act of faith, by the way. That's an act of faith. The next command is lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Do you know the word for sin? Probably some of you do. The word is harmatia. And the word harmatia really means to miss the mark, to miss the mark. Now, if you had an archer, and there's a mark over there, a big target over there, right? And I'm shooting at it, I shoot my arrow over there. If I miss the mark, that's sin. Okay? Now, what's the mark? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's it. That's the mark. That is the mark you're supposed to aim at, is the glory of God. Every time, glory of God. Goes, I missed the glory of God, sin. I didn't hit the glory of God. I hit something else. My glory, something else, something I wasn't supposed to. That's it. That's what the meaning of sin is. So it means here now, lay aside the sin that clings to us. There are these things that make us miss the mark. Something comes along here, oh, I look over there and I miss the mark, or this over here, I get sidetracked, I get interested in something else and I miss the glory of God. That is sin. That's it. So lay aside that thing. Say, no, my aim is the glory of God. That's what I got to be worried about. And by faith, you know, the arrow goes straight and goes to the armor of God, goes right to God. Staying the course that is set before us, there are so many things that lure us off the path. That's what it means when it says the sins that so easily beset us. There's so many things that lure us off the path. It takes an act of faith to lay that aside. Sins and weights weaken us so that we don't run the race well. Those are the things we have to lay aside. But the part of this text that I love most, I think, is the next two things that are right here. Looking unto Jesus. Now that's the goal. If you want your faith to increase, if you want to grow in faith, you have to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or, as it puts it later, consider him, analyze him, analizo. Study the life of Jesus. Look at him. Look at how he bore up under the tremendous pressure that was put on him. And when you understand the pressure that was put on him and how he stood up in those difficult hours on the cross and even before, you'll learn faith that endures, because that's what he did. He endured the cross. He endured the cross. There's so much here. I'm going to tell you some things you already know, but I want to remind you about what Christ endured on the cross. Yeah. The cross is a Roman instrument of torture. Horrible. Incredible. To lay a human body down on a cross and take spikes and drive through, probably not the palm of the hand, probably through the wrist here. Any of you guys butchers here? Anybody ever butchered something? You know there's a place in there where you can put something and it won't break. It's right in there. Probably crossed his feet and another drove another spike through there. You can't imagine. You can't imagine the pain. You can't imagine what it'd be like to be in a situation like that. And the whipping that he got. Some of you have seen the Jesus film. Some of you saw, you know, Mel Gibson's. Somebody asked Mel Gibson one time, "Don't you think that was a little gross?" He said it was far worse. It was. Isaiah talks about him. He was so mutilated that he was unrecognizable. You can't imagine. And then to hang on a cross. And again, we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine. Yeah. The whole idea of the cross, of course, is that you were suspended by your hands and by your feet, and you had to breathe. So the whole weight was there, and you had to go down. But in order to breathe, you had to lift up on your feet and take a breath until you couldn't do it anymore. That was the physical pain. That was the physical pain. Then what about the idea of him who knew no sin became sin for us? We're not there. We've never gone to that level. We have no idea what that's like. But for the pure and holy Son of God to become sin, no, we've never been there. He became sin for us. He was so driven down. The weight was so heavy that he cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? You ever feel forsaken by God? Yeah. He went there before you, and he went further than you. Now, I want to say something that probably some of you take a little bit of offense to, but I believe it in my heart. So I want to share it with you. I know you've been taught, and I was too, that God turned his back on his Son when he was upon the cross. Because God cannot look upon sin. Were you taught that? I was. I don't think that's right. Let me tell you why. Because Jesus is quoting from the Psalms. He's quoting David. That's what David said. My God, why have you forsaken me? Question, did God turn his back on David? No. Well, what's going on here? why is Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me, when really above the clouds, you know, God is still there and looking, I think, with favor upon his son, because his son is giving the holy sacrifice for sin that's going to save people from the whole world. Well, here is the mystery. It's going to go by fast, so I hope you can grasp a little of it as it goes by. You see, Jesus is the God-man, right? He's perfect God, and he's perfect man. But while he was with us in his humanity, he did not act in his deity. Oh, you got a problem there now, don't you? You were told in Sunday school that all these miracles that Jesus did, you know, he did that because he's the Son of God, right? But isn't it funny that all the miracles that Jesus did, somebody else did before him? Yeah? Hey, you know, go to any miracle you want. Turn water to wine. Well, Moses turned water to blood, you know. Go to any of the miracles. He raised the dead. Well, what about Elisha? What about, you know, others? They did these things too. How did they do it? They did it in the power of the Spirit. And that is how Jesus is functioning. Jesus is functioning in his humanity under the total power of the Holy Spirit. If he had been God, he cannot be my example. I'll take that back. If he had acted as God, he could not be my example. Because he had to die for me in my place, right? So he had to die as a human being, filled with the Holy Spirit, but not using his his powers of deity. That's what Satan tempted him to do. If you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. This is what the people standing at the cross said. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Use your power just once. Okay, if you use your power once, you cannot be my example. So to make a long story short, what I think happened here on the cross is that Jesus, in his humanity, listen carefully, could no longer feel the presence of God. God was there. He just couldn't feel it, just like David. And what I'd like to get through to you is this. You may doubt my theology, but I think you'll appreciate this. Jesus had to go lower and deeper than any human being had ever gone. And when you get into depression, and when you feel God's forsaken you, and you feel that God's no longer there, I want to tell you, Jesus has been there before you. He knows what it's like to feel depression. He knows what it's like to feel forsaken. He knows what it's like, just like David, to cry out, God, I can't feel you anymore. I don't even think you're there. Where are you, God? Doesn't mean God went away. Just means I can't feel it anymore. I'm so depressed. I'm so put down. He's in the darkness, in the blind darkness of depression. He's crying out, my God, my God. A minute or two later, he's praying to God, right? Did God really turn his back on him? Says, Father, and delay. God was listening. So I don't think that God turned his back on his son, but I do believe that Jesus went into the most darkest, horrible pit that you can possibly imagine. He could not go deeper than this. But in all of this, he endured. He had the power to call 10,000 angels. He could have come off the cross. Come on, come off the cross. Save yourself. Save yourself and us. He could have done it. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he endured. He stayed under this horrible weight, this terrible, oh, the suffering, the pain, the rejection. He stayed under. Consider him who endured such hostility of sinners. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. You save others, you save others yourself. You save the Son of God. And people were laughing at him and making a friend of him. He despised the shame. By the way, did you know that in the annals of history we read about crucifixion? Did you notice that most prisoners, when they were crucified on a cross, were crucified naked? Did you know that? I mean, you always see the cloth and all that stuff. That's not the way it was. Shame. Can you imagine? The Son of God. But he endured. He went through all of this when your faith is weak. You just think about him. Just think about him enduring all of this. It builds our faith. Consider him. Analyze him. Look at what happened to him. Think about him and how he endured the cross. Now, something very beautiful here. How did he endure the cross? Tells us. He endured the cross, seeing the joy. Joy? What? Seeing the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, what is that talking about? Joy? I can't see any joy here. Yeah, there's joy. So, what was the joy? Well, was he thinking, well, I'm going to get out of this pretty quick? Was he thinking, I'm going to get to heaven pretty soon? I don't think that's what it means. I think there's a deeper meaning here. Anybody got a Bible here? A Bible? Please look up Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 and read it to us. Anybody who finds it. Isaiah 53 and verse 10.
Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The hand of the Lord shall prosper.
Okay, does anybody have a different translation? It says offspring in this one. It's the right word, but does anybody have a different translation for that word offspring? He shall see his... Anybody know? Yes, the word is actually, he will see his seed. It's a good translation. He will see his seed. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and his soul shall be satisfied. So I want to ask you this evening, what was Jesus thinking about that enabled him to endure on the cross? He was thinking about his seed. What's his seed? You and me. That's what kept him on the cross. He knew that one day you would need a Savior. He said, I'm going to stay on the cross so that you can be saved. He looked out and saw the people, the thousands of people that would come to him. They would become Christians in the world. And he says, I'll do it for them. And he did it. That's why he did it, for you. He shall see his seed and shall be satisfied. Yeah. Yeah. Now, isn't this interesting? When we're crushed between the load, what do we look at? When we're crushed, when the weight is heavy on us, what are we told to do? Look at him. When we look at him, what do we see? We see him looking at us. Is that not amazing? And it's in that exchange of us looking at Jesus and understanding what he did and having him look at us and saying, yeah, I died for you. You're my child. I'll take care of you. I know what you're doing. That gives us faith that endures. Faith that endures. Lord, I pray you take these thoughts and bless them to our hearts tonight. May we consider him, analyze him, believe in him, trust him, obey him, and may our faith grow. I pray in Jesus' name.